Well, first of all, Jan, thank you for inviting me here. I'd like to say that here in, officially, so to speak. This feedback I give is more of a critical friend than of a reviewer of the charter, because that is a more elaborated process, I presume, than since we have to fill out forms. And there's a strict guideline how to evaluate that or review your proposal. I'm a PhD candidate at the Uni Arts in Stockholm, University of the Arts, investigating the potentialities for the contemporary performance voice. And the project so far is called the Multivocal Voice. And it deals with basically my fascination on the possibility to use one vocal apparatus to produce different voice categories, as there are the singing voice, the speaking voice, the extended voice, and the disembodied voice. And it was Julian Klein who recommended or who proposed this job to me when we met 2 weeks ago at the Opera Symposium, the first Opera Symposium at the University in Stockholm. And the idea of Jan was to actually get us here to observe or to experience the performance, the live performance, as opposed to actually see a video, and that makes, of course, total sense to me. It is, it might be even obvious to us, right? But we kind of get lost on the track of, the tradition of evaluating other people's work, which is text-based and, video and audio as being the main documentary material we rely on. So, and forgive me for jumping back and forth between my notes, which is, of course, very messy at the moment. So, double vortex. I start off with pure observations. And the piece started off with a very clear setting, with the main performer on stage drawing the co-player, as I would say, as I'm concerned with the solo format a lot, I ask myself, what is my co-player apart from the audience? And it's obvious that in this case it was visualized by the loudspeaker. And the second co-player, or the almost hidden co-player, is Jan, as being the composer performer. And positioning himself slightly in between the stage and the audience. Not really on stage, not really in the audience, but in between. Now, one can think of that as being some sort of undecidedness, which I don't think it is the case. I'm sure you have thought about this thoroughly. And I have seen that as being more the role of a mediator, or between the actual performance act and the audience. I was intrigued by the opening silence part, which Beat did fantastically in terms of super slow motion of his upper right body, and that creates a certain expectation. And the whole sphere of John Cage kicks in there, where we get sensible for the actual performance and start to listen to what is there in the environment. We start to listen to the PA. just as an observation. Mm. What then I was thinking was, how do actually the movements inform the actual sound creation process on the instrumentalist side? That was something I was busy with at the beginning, but which turned out not to be throughout the whole piece, which turned out not to be as important anymore. And in fact, when I think of my question yesterday, when I was asking, so what are the moments, or what are the triggering points, what are the cues, when to record and when to play back, wasn't a thought which I was occupied with anymore. It felt very natural, the implementation of live electronics. In fact, I really enjoyed the minimalistic approach of the live electronics, as opposed to the pieces beforehand. And what is really fascinating when the two elements merge into one, into a new sound entity. And that happened. How did I write it down? Yeah, I called it it's almost an amalgamation of the trombone and the live electronics, where you at some point weren't able to determine where is that sound coming from. Was that actually live electronics, or was this the trombone? This is a, of course, that is satisfying our unquenchable thirst for the unknown, for the new, and I think that worked out just great. I was also observing quite an array of extended techniques presented by Beat. Double reed in the trombone, even inverse screams for so voice was part of his playing. And you mentioned that yesterday, that brings up the whole question about authorship. And that is something which might be obvious or not within the issue of composer-performer relationship. But then I looked into the program again this morning, and also there, it doesn't become clear. So it is probably deliberately made open, I presume, so that the actual roles of the composer and the performer, as they are, the way they are defined in a conventional way, they dissolve. And that might be interesting to look into that issue more closely. I find that very important. Yes.
Why is that important?
Because it is creating completely new qualities that aren't graspable within the conventional definition of a composer and a performer. So there's a big difference in actually scoring a piece and then handing it over to a performer and then interpreting it. Here, those roles are in a way fluid, and they kind of overlap and they go into each other, and that is creating, in my experience, and as shown in that piece, a complete new sound world. Or is opening up to new possibilities in creating sound. Mm.
I've said that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For a possible article, I find it, I think it is very important to incorporate Beat's experiences along the way a lot, and apart from your own experiences, Jan, I think those two could be very fruitful for the overall picture. So the just a quick observation also about the ending that appeared very abrupt to me, and actually why it was abrupt to me was because I thought it might continue at least three, four minutes longer. At least to me it could have been this way. But yeah, well, that's the way it was. Well, let me point out that I have forgotten at the beginning that I was really that I really enjoyed the whole evening, not only the double vortex, but the whole concert, which I thought had a great diversity in styles and showing all the possible ways live electronic could go, and I was impressed by the multitasking which you actually mastered on that level. I'm a very when I perform, I decided to perform usually only with one instrument at one concert, as opposed to use more than one, because that is already quite a challenge and a complex approach. So that was very impressive, but also as a in this double function as being composer, performer, moderator, also during the discussions, that is you handled that very well. This is something we might not want to say in such a situation, but I think this is worth to note. Now, a favorite topic of mine, and I have shortly discussed it with Julia yesterday, is how do we actually communicate our work? And that might not directly relate to double vortex and the piece, but how do we in general get this new art form across to a broader audience, basically? And I was informed, because I was at the discussion beforehand, and I was wondering what the actual the audience who wasn't so to speak informed, what how they perceived the pieces, and even if I'm informed, and even me myself dealing with live electronics, I'd like to even know more about how should I put it? How things work, basically. What's the live electronic part in that piece, and what is that gesture actually doing? You know, because that is in a way contributing, or these are the constitutive elements for the contract, between the performer. Or the performance act, and the audience. And that might be, I'm not sure, but that might be one reason why our art form is not in the concert halls. Because if you look at the program of the concert halls, the contract is very clear there. It ends with pieces written 100 years before our time, and it deals with aesthetics which are well known, and we all know about that, so I don't need to work on that, but what I think our task is to make clear how things actually work. And that is, and I go that far that I become almost too obvious within my within the realm of my movement vocabulary. And but then during the performance and during the act of performing, that gets out of the way anyways, and because the music goes through our brain, and that is a complex thing, so it will get interesting. So we should not be afraid of starting off almost how shall I put it, very obvious or evident. And for the first instrument, when I was designing the patch for the weak controls, when I played the weak controls, one moment or one approach was to stress the idea of synchronizing the movement with the sonic or musical outcome or result. So I wonder how we get it out of the black box of the ZDHDK into the real world, so to speak. And that brings up another question. If that happens, if we go along that path, and I think that is something we should, and you should, how does that change the actual performance? And how does that inform this particular performance practice, which you have developed on a high level?
Well, can I respond quickly to this? Because it's, I mean, so for example, in the dance piece, there was the same idea that we actually expose first how it works. And the dancer's task is actually to expose that. And so the whole evening starts with a kind of almost didactic kind of showing how.
Yeah, very didactic.
Which we realize is actually exactly what you're saying is very valuable in terms of cueing people in into understanding what's going on. But then, of course, like you said, but also in terms of developing things, you can't just do that. That doesn't fulfill the whole thing. And it's interesting, I was thinking on the way home that you can build this whole discourse around the pieces and to give titles and, you know, kind of concepts, etc. But ultimately, when somebody is watching the performance, all of that is actually not present because the performance is fully present. So I was thinking this kind of skin that we wrap around the pieces with, like, the discourse, how distracting this can be, you know, like leading in a false direction. But how important it is also for priming people to, you know, understand. And there's different ways of priming, and so explaining how things work is one thing, but also maybe explaining what the intentions or maybe the imagery or kind of the metaphors, or so there's different levels of how you would communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I could make a program booklet with like 10 pages for these three or four pieces, but would that actually help? If you read that beforehand as an audience, wouldn't that be in the way of your perceiving that thing? So maybe afterwards. I mean, I tend to say, well, you can hand this out afterwards, and people can, you know, collect the additional information afterwards to complement the experience and to maybe lead to better understanding.
Mm. Mm.
But that's a kind of, I think, an eternal discussion.
Mm.
So, yeah. And then I don't think it's necessary to expose the workings of the technology, because I think, it's particularly when we're performing the body, so it's not just the sound that is the object, but it's also the physical presence that is the object.
Mm-hmm.
The technology becomes the instrument, and I think in our culture, we're used to having musicians perform with instruments, traditional instruments. So, I mean, I know it doesn't really work, but my notion would be to have people realize it's just an instrument. And then I mean, when you see a violin player, you don't think about how the violin is built anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 300 years ago or 500 years ago.
Maybe I do.
Maybe, yes. I mean, it's all maybes. But I think that's a very, I mean, to me that's it's important not to put the technology in the center in that
mm-hmm.
sense, because I really have an instrumental relationship to it. You know, I'm beyond the level of just, you know, building it and on the task or occupied with actually making music with it. So these are two steps. And yeah, the question of authorship, I mean, it is a collaborative development. It is a dialogical process. So in that sense, of course, it's not composer performer. And then on stage, the same. And I like the mediation idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's levels and levels and levels of mediation with technology anyways.
Mm.
So there's another level with when you put me between the audience and the
mm-hmm.
somehow.
Mm-hmm.